Good to have everyone here this morning. It's, I guess one of the funnier memes I've seen on Facebook is that the virus has made a lot of preachers televangelists all of a sudden. I'm not comfortable in front of a camera, but I'm glad, Brenda, you're able to be with us this morning too. And encourage everyone to have their Bibles out and follow along with us. We spent a lot of time talking about Jesus and defining who Jesus was, defining who Scripture says Jesus is. It's because we want to let the Scriptures define these things. Our Bibles are revealed the mind of God, and they tell us who Jesus is. I heard a saying one time, if we don't know a man, we'll make him up. And that's just a common thought among mankind. And we don't want to do that with Jesus, or for that in God. We've studied both of these characters, Jesus and God, and their attributes. And this morning is a little bit about Jesus, and it's a lot about the perception of Jesus and the relationship of Jesus to those who the Jews held in high esteem. It's Jesus's relationship with those who the Jews held in high esteem. In John chapter 8, verse 48, I'll read that for our introduction here. John chapter 8, starting in verse 48, reading there. Then answered the Jews and said unto them, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and has a devil? And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead, whom you make yourself? And Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said unto him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And so we see here the reference Jesus and interacting with the Jews, but saying Abraham saw his day and he was glad. And before Abraham was, I am, I've been forever. And in this is the concept that Jesus is greater than Abraham. Jesus is greater than Abraham. So as we look and we contemplate and think and put ourselves in the Jews' shoe, what did they think of Abraham? Abraham was their father. He was their patriarch. He was a man that God spoke to. And the first one I want to think of as we talk about the title here, Jesus was greater than. Jesus was greater than Abraham. And these, as we talk through these, we're going to see the Jews had great difficulty understanding this. But Jesus was portrayed, and Jesus was in actuality greater than these men we're going to talk about. And first was, as we've read here, it was Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. This is an indication of superiority. Now, the fact that Abraham was dead, Abraham saw his day, and Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Jesus had honor from Abraham, something that the Jews could not comprehend because he was seen as their father. He was the patriarch of the entire nation, someone that God spoke directly with, and someone who God gave promises to, of which they were anxiously awaiting the final promise, the Messiah. But he, Jesus, was greater than Abraham. What a powerful, powerful statement. And the Jews always relied on the fact, we have Abraham our father. And remember, it was quoted, or I think it was John the Baptist said, that God could raise up children from Abraham from these stones. But the idea is Jesus is greater than, Jesus was greater than their father, Abraham, who they held in high esteem, very high esteem. And we know that Jesus, he said God was his father. He spoke with God. He said they were unified. All these things made him greater than Abraham in that regard as he interacted with God on a personal level. We also see that Jesus shows, calls himself to be greater than Jacob, or he's questioned about that. I think we make that, we certainly realize the statement made in John 4 makes that assertion in the whole. In John chapter 4, starting at verse 12. John chapter 4, verse 12, talking about Jacob. I'll read there. So he's interacting with the Samaritan woman. In verse 10, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who says you give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. And this Samaritan woman, now this is what her correspondence, she says, are you greater than our father Jacob? John chapter 4, verse 12. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Yes, Jesus was greater than their father Jacob, who gave them that well. To me, it's quite impressive that the thousands and hundreds and centuries later, the well's still producing. And they still believe this to be the well of Jacob, and it's still producing water. But Jesus says he would give them water that springs up into everlasting life. Yes, the Samaritan woman, I am greater than Jacob. Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Every Israelite knew their place in the tribes and knew who their forefather was of Jacob and which tribe they were a part of. It was a big deal to them. They were big on their history and their heritage. They knew these things. And yet, Jesus was greater than Jacob. An astounding statement that the Jews would have had trouble with. What about Moses? What does it say about Moses? If we turn over to John chapter 1. I'm staying in John for the moment here. In John chapter 1. This may not be quite as obvious, but I believe John chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 is making that exact statement. That Jesus is greater than Moses. Look at what we find out here. John chapter 1, verse 17, starting just 17 and 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites to Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? I'm sorry, I should have read verse 17 first. I started verse 18. Back up to 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him. The law was given by Moses, but what came by Jesus? Truth and grace. Notice, too, he makes a statement here. Well, let's talk about Moses. I'm not talking about Moses being equal or about Jesus being superior to Moses. What was the character of Moses? What can we say about Moses? First of all, we see that Moses spoke to God face to face as a friend, it says, in Exodus 33. So for him to take on a position greater than Moses shows the importance and the relationship that God had with Jesus. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, reading there, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned into his camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, if you hold your finger there, we're going to come back to that here in a moment. Moses spoke to God face to face as God would, as a friend, it says there. Jesus did the same with God, didn't he? Jesus did with God. And then in Exodus chapter 3, still hold Exodus 33. We're going to come back to 33 here or something else here. But Moses was in the presence of God. So was Jesus. Jesus makes that claim as well. In Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush. We're not going to read that. I'm not turning over there like I'm going to read it. I'm not going to read that. We know Moses was in the presence of God. He was told, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground and hallowed ground. Moses was in the presence of God, but Jesus was greater than Moses. Now, if you're still in Exodus 33, turn to verse 12. And this is where it ties in John chapter 1. Remember what he said in John chapter 1? No man has seen God at any time. Well, a Jew would have said, wait a minute. That's not absolutely 100% true. And the person who would come to mind was Moses. Right? John chapter 18, no man has seen God except the only begotten. who was in the bosom of the Father. He declared him. Well, if in the case of Moses, Moses did see part of God. And the point being that Moses, that God, that Jesus had an intimate relationship with God that even Moses didn't have. Jesus was greater than God. What did Moses see? Well, Moses was only, and the only man recorded to see this, the backside of God, as it said, in Exodus 33 and verse 12, starting, Moses said unto the Lord, "See, you say unto me, bring me up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I will have found grace in your sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is my people." And then he continues down here in verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, "I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." But Jesus is greater. Jesus was greater than Moses. And he said, "I beseech you, show me thy glory," Moses says. And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and be merciful on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "You cannot see my face." Well, there's a clarification how we reconcile John 1 and Exodus 33. But Jesus was greater than Moses, but Moses yet was a great man. Verse 20, he said, "You cannot see my face, for therein shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and I will. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away my hand that you may see my hindward parts, but my face shall not be seen." When John wrote of that, every Jew would have said, Moses saw part of God, but Jesus was greater, because Jesus saw God face to face. Jesus saw God as he was. Jesus was God's son. And so he was greater than Moses. Jesus was a man much greater than Moses was. We also see, as we talk about Moses, that Moses promised of a prophet. Prophet like unto him in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses gave this prophet, and Jesus fulfilled that promise in Deuteronomy 18. A prophet like unto me, it says there. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. "The Lord thy God will raise unto you a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken." And in this case, I gave a scripture reference to some of the stuff I've talked about. I'm not actually referenced to scripture where Jesus and God are united and are one. But here in verse 19 through 21, the point is made. There was a prophet to come. And John the Baptizer was asked, "Are you that prophet?" That's that prophet of Deuteronomy 18. In John chapter 1, verse 19, I already read this one, but we'll start again. John 1, start at verse 19. "This is the record when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he, being the John the Baptizer, confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Messiah. I am not the Christ.' And they said, 'What, are you the Elias?' And he said, 'I am not. Are you that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" That prophet, we believe, is referred to back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. John said, "I am not that prophet." And he continues on here, says, that who you see, this is down in verse 35, the next day, verse 33 of John chapter 1. "I knew him not," who that prophet was, "but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, 'Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descend and remain on him, the same as he which is baptized with the Holy Ghost.' And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Talking about Jesus. Jesus was greater than Moses. Jesus was the prophet that Moses promised would come, that Moses foretold. And on top of that, they knew that Moses was a prophet. In John chapter 9, they boasted of that. "We know Moses was the prophet of God, that God spoke to Moses." In that case, we're talking about the blind man and his interaction with the Pharisees. And they reviled in John 9. They reviled the blind man. In verse 28, it says, "Thou art his disciple," being Jesus, "but we are Moses' disciple." So they boasted of it. They knew that we know that God spake to Moses, but in this case, the Pharisees, they didn't believe. Well, the blind man believed in that context. Interesting parallel to it. We've talked about this lesson that Jesus was greater than Moses. Moses was also a savior of Israel. We recognize the analogy there. They brought him out of Egypt. He was God's chosen one. He was also an advocate for the children of Israel. Many times he goes before God, saving the people in various times, in various ways, from God's wrath because of their disobedience. And we see that as well. And we've covered that in a lesson, and we maybe could, and not intention to cover all that in great detail, but to hit the highlights of this, Jesus was greater than Moses. And for a Jew, that was an astonishing statement. That was an astonishing situation, that Jesus, the Messiah, was greater than Moses, their prophet. Jesus was greater than David. Look in Acts chapter 2. Jesus was greater than their king David, one they held in such great high esteem. In Acts chapter 2, in the sermon on the day of Pentecost, as Peter preaches there and teaches them, notice what is said in verse 24 through 36. As Peter preaches about Jesus, and he uses the comparison to David, their king, their former king. So whom God has raised up, this Jesus, this Messiah, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. This is Acts chapter 2 in verse 26. Moreover, all my flesh shall rest in hope, or also my flesh shall rest in hope. In verse 27, because you will not leave my soul in Hades, neither will you suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. The patriarch David that is both dead and buried and his sepulcher is with us to today. Jesus is greater than him. Therefore, being a prophet, verse 30, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to flesh, he would raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Jesus, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you see now and hear. David is not ascended up in the heavens, but who is Jesus? David is not ascended up, but Jesus is ascended up into heaven. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make my enemies my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus was greater than their king, David, whom they held in such high esteem. David was both dead and buried, but where was Jesus? Jesus was raised up. His soul was not left in Hades. It was raised up. And God exalted Jesus as Lord and Messiah, Lord and Christ, not David. Jesus was greater than David. And so we also know and understand that David was a man after God's own heart. When we make this correlation that Jesus was greater than David, you think just like with Moses, what all did Moses do? What did David do? Jesus was greater. Jesus was greater. Even though he was a great king of Israel, Jesus is even greater than David. And certainly we also recognize that David was seen as their great warrior, helping them conquer their enemies. Yet he was greater. Jesus was greater than Solomon. Jesus is greater than Solomon. And what we're going to see here is those words actually used. We haven't always seen the words used, but we see the concepts in the passages we've looked at. But here, the words are actually specifically used. So in Luke chapter 11, if you want to turn there, Jesus is greater than Solomon. Again, a man they held in high esteem who had the wisdom of God. That's kind of what's brought out here. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 29. When the people were gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. We'll come back to that, by the way. For as Jonas was a sign of the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. Now, Solomon here, verse 31. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for they repented not at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And so we see the statement there in verse 31, in particular, talking about Solomon at the moment. There was one greater than Solomon. The queen came to get here of his wisdom, but we have one greater. Jesus is greater than Solomon. And if Jesus would have said, whoa, wait a minute. That can't be so. Solomon was great. He had the wisdom of God. Solomon built their temple. Now, not the one they're looked at, because the temple Solomon built was destroyed. But in John chapter 2, the recognition is made that it took 46 years to build a temple. In John chapter 2, in verses 18 through 22, it speaks of that. And Jesus says in verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jew says 46 years it took to build a temple. But he's going to build it in 3 days. Of course, we recognize, and if you continue reading there, he's talking about his body being raised up in 3 days. But Jesus was greater than Solomon. He had the wisdom of God. Solomon did. We know Jesus had the wisdom of God as well. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 through 15. That's where Solomon asked for wisdom, that he can judge the people rightly, and God gives him that. But yet Jesus, greater than our Solomon. We read that the Jews would have been intimate with the Proverbs and with the book of Ecclesiastes and writings of Solomon, that Jesus was greater. We have one greater than Solomon here before us. Then Jonah. Jonah. When we just read that there in Luke, and I'm referencing Matthew in this case. It's a parallel passage. There's one here greater than Jonah. Jonah was resurrected by God. I think that's a proper statement as we look, especially because of this parallel that's made in Luke and Mark and Matthew, that Jesus was raised from the dead after 3 days, and Jonah was as well, but Jesus is greater than Jonah. Jesus was greater than Jonah. He was a prophet sent to the city, to Nineveh, and they repented and turned from their ways, but Jesus is greater than Jonah. Finally, Jesus was greater than John the Baptizer. Yes, John the Baptizer, the people thought him to be a prophet, yet Jesus was greater. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptizer makes the acknowledgement and recognizes his place. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me, that's the Messiah. John's the forerunner, preparing the way for Jesus. Messiah, Jesus is coming after this, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not even worthy to bear. In other places, it talks about the shoelaces of Jesus and unloosing them. And for the people in the Middle East, that is a shameful thing to hold or touch someone's shoes and feet. Jesus was mightier than John the Baptist. He was greater than John the Baptizer. That's what makes Jesus' example of washing disciples' feet so great. Shows his humility of spirit, and humility that he had, and willingness to serve while he was on this earth. But Jesus was greater than John the Baptizer. John says, I'm not even able to bear his shoes, something that's unclean and dirty for them. And the people believed John to be a prophet. As Jesus was interrogated and they tried to trip Jesus up in his questions in Matthew 21, they recognized, and the Jews themselves said this in Matthew chapter 21, verse 26. If we answer Jesus of one way, we fear the people, for they all hold John to be a prophet. They realized John was a prophet, but Jesus was greater than Jesus. So as we look and consider these things and realize our Lord and Savior's place and realize the people's perception of all these great men, their forefathers. They look at Abraham, one whom was given the promises. We look at Jacob, the father of their nation, who had the 12 tribes named after his children in that regard, and they all had their names. They had that well that produced water all them years. He was greater than Jacob. He was greater than Moses, the one who saved them from Egyptian captivity, their advocate before God, who spoke to God as a friend, who saw the hindward parts of God. But Jesus was greater. David, their king, who had a heart after God's own heart, who died, but Jesus was resurrected. God did not leave Jesus in Hades, but David was dead and buried. Jesus was greater than David. Jesus was greater than Solomon, man who had the wisdom of God, but Jesus knew God directly. Jesus was God's son. Jesus was greater than Solomon. In that analogy, he says, I could raise a temple in 3 days. We recognize the power of God. It can be done in an instant. But Jesus made the case for himself being greater than Solomon. He was greater than Jonah, and he was resurrected. Even though they both were resurrected from the dead, Jesus was greater than Jonah. Jesus was greater than John the Baptizer, the forerunner. And John makes that claim. This is who our Jesus was. To the Jew, all astounding statements they had trouble dealing with. Timothy was told by Paul that our Savior is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's his place. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is our example for us to follow. What a great person, great God we have, to give us the example he gave to die for our sins so our sins can be forgiven. That is our Savior. Greater than all of these. To Jew meant something. It meant something great. David chose a song of invitation. Who will follow Jesus? The Jews were asked that same question. They were not willing to give up. A lot of them were not willing to give up their heritages. They were not willing to give up their place in life, their wealth, and whatever else they may have lost, like Paul did, to call after and follow after Jesus. But who will follow Jesus? And then this song talks about righteous living, and that's part of it. But who will follow Jesus? The Jew turned her back. If you follow Jesus, you'll do what he instructed. You want to follow Jesus? He instructed his disciples to go out and make disciples of all mankind, baptizing them. He instructed that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He instructed Nicodemus to be born again. And we see in Acts chapter 2, as we read a brief part of that, as we look at Peter's sermon there on the day of Pentecost, how that they were instructed. We've killed the Messiah. We've killed the great one. We've killed God's chosen one. How do we respond? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by Jesus' authority, by his instruction, for remission of sins. That's what we're instructed to do. If you begin following Jesus and you stumble along the way, and wish to have the prayers of the saints, we can also offer this opportunity for you to make that known as well. So if our subject for our gospel is called this morning, would you follow Jesus as we're instructed? Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?